Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody, to the After Show Convo. We're going to pick up where we left off with Peter Lucas and the band Annihilate.
Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by
WeAreHistorically.com, Conscious Brand Apparel, and
Learn to Play Jazz Piano Like a Pro by a Pro with Jazz Piano Pro Essentials at jazzpianopro.com.
Let's meet Annihilate.
Well, I'm curious, in terms of just even the name, where did Annihilate come from? Because I was like, when I first heard it, I was just like, Annihilate? Annihilate? Play on words? What are they going for here? What's the purpose? What's the role? I'm curious.
So there's no, I mean, yes, it is the play on words. It was a band name that we made back in like 7th grade. My friend Alex Davis came up with it, and we were just playing music with them at the time. And we have like an old YouTube account of our like 9th grade songs that we were making under Annihilate. But by the time, like when the time came where we actually made our fully polished album, we didn't even have a name. And we had to come up with a band name, and it was like the biggest discussion of debate between everybody, because you know that's where you're gonna brand yourself for your whole like it's like getting a tattoo, like that's you're branded like that the rest of your musical career. So it was like the hardest decision to ever make, but we always had Annihilate in the back of our heads, and something about it just felt right. It is very easily misspelled, and because we find that a lot, people don't know how to spell the word aisle, or they like just put the letter eight. That's very so true. Bad. I don't blame them. I didn't really know how to spell either. But at this point, it's just kind of like a funny story behind it. But I stand behind the name. it was like a very kind of silly younger idea that we had, and then we just were like, let's commit to it.
It works.
Well, sometimes you have to say it twice to people, but like you'll see it like click in their head and they'll be like, "Whoa, that's sick!" Like, and so that's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Say, like sometimes you'll have to say like clean up Annihilate or something like that, and they'll be like, "Oh, okay, I got you."
Then they remember it.
Yeah,
exactly. That's true. Yeah, that's what really I like about it is that once I heard it and I got it, I was like, "Yeah, that's good."
Sounds like a band's name, and you're just like, "Yeah, rock it." I rock so, it.
Yeah.
I know you guys got to play at Fremont Friday, you know, congrats for headlining that. Like, how was that experience of just being able to like play some of this stuff live again? Or like even just playing live in general, like walk me through that experience, just getting back on stage.
It was amazing.
It was awesome.
It's one of the best feelings I've had in a long time.
It's euphoric.
Especially with such a big crowd. Like it really felt like we're back, like really back. That was great.
Yeah, it's true. I couldn't think of a better spot to do it at. There's so many people, so much potential to grow and get new fans, since you know people are going to come there because it's like one of the biggest events happening on a weekly basis in Seattle. And we did gain a lot of new fans from that date, and Marshall does a great job putting that on every week. Kudos to him. We're also playing Splash Fest too. I'm not sure if this is going to be out before that, but what is it, August 21st, we're going to be playing Splash Fest at the same spot, LTD Bar and Grill.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go. And I believe that in the gala was actually like the first time that I saw you guys. And so both performances, I was just like, oh, snap, like you guys are electrified. I love it. Because I think that's the thing too, is when you can find a group, like a band and a group of musicians that can emulate that same energy that they have from the album to the stage, and then even like obviously when it's even better live because you have all the energy from it, that's dope. Like, so in terms of like the flow experience for you guys on stage, like how does that go for each of you? Does it take you any type of like little like breathing ritual, just a little like prayer before you guys go on, or is it just like the moment you start playing you're in it?
I think it's the latter. There, I think it's, yeah, as soon as you look at the set list, you know it's, you see what song is next. For me, I have to look at the set list. I'm terrible at remembering whatever's next. But yeah, you see that, and then you're just in that headspace there. I mean, some songs, like, I guess some heavier, and maybe either like energetic songs or like slower songs that still kind of carries over. But as soon as the music starts, you know, it's almost like autopilot. You're into whatever energy that song calls for.
Yeah, we do a really good job at making sure we're always very well prepared, probably over prepared for any kind of live experience. So we try to make every show better than the last, performance wise, energy wise, crowd engagement wise. For me, there's always a little bit of nerves. Literally the second that my first stick hits the drums, it's just gone. Because it's just something that we practice. You put so much work and preparation into something that you just, like he said, you can kind of do it on autopilot. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. But the reacting off the crowd's energy is also one of my favorite things. Because, you know, we're playing for the first time after dropping the album. We don't know how these songs are going to hit, like which ones people are going to like, which ones people are going to dislike. So it's kind of just like testing things out. And seeing people respond well to something that we put so much work into creating that's probably the best feeling in the world when it comes to being a musician, like seeing it connect with someone else.
Well, and that's kind of like the timeless nature of it too, in the sense of, you know, you always think back on those first times when you were kind of like inspired by music and how you kind of like you're passing the torch, part of this great kind of like human experience of just like creative expression. But even with the creativity, there comes a lot of destruction. So before you guys actually got to like, this is the track list for the album, like what didn't make the cut? Is that just like pushed away for another project, or is that just out in,
I don't know
someone's also, hard drive?
Yeah, it is. It's in a Dropbox folder with like 30 files. There's like probably close to 20 other songs that didn't make the cut. That may or may not come back. I mean, who knows? We'll see. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I think we're just going to keep on creating. We've created since finishing the album. We put out like a double single, Blossom, Sick Day, which we're also very proud of, as well as when we were making Don't. Like I said, we made that after. So I think from here on, it's just keeping on creating like we've still been doing. We have new songs that we've made since the album has come out. I don't think we're ever going to stop making songs.
Yeah, we just keep getting better.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that these old songs that didn't make the cut, there's a good chance they'll never see the light of day, because you always look back and you feel like you can do better now than what was there. So it's sad because it's kind of a waste since there are so many good ideas, but we know that we're going to keep pumping them out, and maybe one day we'll have like a B-side thing to just like drop all the demos on so people can hear everything that we've been working on. But usually the best of the best filter themselves out. So we put our best foot forward with the songs that we actually do release.
Yeah. So like a natural selection almost with our songs, like only the best ones are going to stand the test of time.
Even in that though, like just the fact that this album was primarily completed like so long ago, how is the sound of you guys even now like developed in some of these new things that you're working on?
I don't know about anyone else, but for me, I take a very like kind of like business-like approach to this like music thing, because I see what songs are like highest on the stat sheet, right? And I know like what the audience prefers of us. There's like two very specific styles that people seem to gravitate to when it comes to our music. And so for me, I'm just like, all right, let's make the songs that people are going to enjoy the most. So that's what I've been working on personally. But it's also hard to draw that line, because you want to just be able to freely make whatever you want, and you don't want to put yourself into a box, especially with a band like us. But at the same time, if you want to, you know, see success and growth, you've got to make what the people want.
Interesting. So what two sounds do you feel like people are gravitating towards?
People are gravitating towards, and this also has to do with our ad campaigns that we run. But like the arcade style sound is a natural favorite for people. So that pop rap mix with rock and like kind of funk elements, People like that stuff that you can dance to, stuff that you can move to. And then people also really like the songs that are heavier, kind of like Toit and Burden, where Tristan's using that really like raspy tone, like aggressive, high energy. So people, I've seen at least, people like our higher energy stuff.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, go for it. No, where's the, expand it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did have a comment. For one, in terms of going back to I think the initial question, which was like how, you know, what directions are you guys being pulled in and whatnot, since we wrapped up the album. Well, for one, I don't think we had ever made a song like Don't, even though it's on the album. That to me, still in my mind, is like a progression. And since it was you know, recorded and written far after we finished writing the album. So I personally, like, I love getting, like, that we're just getting more experimental with synths in particular. I love all the textures on that song. I think are great. And on, like, Blossom, which is another song that was written and recorded after the production and had wrapped on Start Acting Strange. Yeah, just more, like, R&B and kind of wavy, spacey. I personally found that a lot of people I've talked to, like, love Merlot and love Blossom, and those songs to me are in like a similar vein. So I don't think we should write those out. But another thought that had popped into my brain was that I watched this interview from Russ a while back, and I'm not like a huge fan of his music or anything like that, but his approach to music is ridiculously admirable, where he was making, like, he had enough music to drop a song a week for like, you know, whatever, like 3-4 years, because he had just been like making multiple songs per week. And the way that he described it was that every song you release is like a salesperson for you, and each one is going to have like a slightly different sales pitch and all of that, and so you just have to throw them out into the world and see what sticks, and definitely, you know, don't be afraid to make more stuff that's similar to that, but also don't be afraid to keep trying new stuff and seeing what else might stick, because you know, preferences change throughout time, like whatever genre is popular, even though it's been rap, like in terms of like the number one genre for many years at this point, like people's interests are always evolving, and you got to be ready to evolve with that. And I think that by staying experimental and trying out new things constantly, that's the best way to do that, and not allowing ourselves to get stuck in a rut of writing the same types of songs necessarily.
That's fascinating in the sense too, where I mean, I think that's one of those things where with how you guys approach this creative process, at least with this last album, in terms of the kind of start off in one direction and just kind of keep building onto it, and then you kind of have like, once the instrumental is done, pass it off to Tristan, like it's almost like there's too many creative minds for it to get boring or get static. It's too dynamic by nature. And I think that's something that's pretty cool to tap into in terms of the creative process, is like infinite potential of where you want to go with it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Certainly again, back to the whole like different music taste, everybody's also finding new stuff that they like to listen to. And that works its way into what we make as well.
Yeah. It would be hard to start getting burnt out on the sound. Someone's going to find something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just great. We're very fortunate.
So in terms of the promotion and things that are kind of pushing forward, you know, how was it, you know, getting that album the video done for Arcade? Like, how was that experience of filming and shooting? And
oh my gosh. Okay. That was one of the most fun days ever. Yeah. So first of all, Dylan, the videographer for that, has been one of my favorite videographers that I've ever seen. I've been watching the videos he's done with Travis Thompson for years, and he's always been the person where I was like, when we get our first official music video going, we need to go to this guy. So just working with him, first of all, was a dream come true. Secondly, just casting like a bunch of extras to come to an arcade that we rented out for, I think, like 3 hours.
There you go. So a
bunch of friends coming together just to get this video shot. And the video was very on the fly. We had a couple things planned. But Dylan, the way he works is just very free form. He's like, okay, I see this and this. Here, let's do a shot like this. And like, we definitely could not have done it without him because he absolutely killed it. But that day was so much fun. And it was so needed because I believe videos are super important in the music space. You need a visual, especially with your most popular song. And we finally made that work. Shout out to another Castle Arcade in Edmonds. It was the perfect spot to to do our first video.
And he was so easy to work with too.
It was
fun. It was working, but it was fun.
It was so much fun. More.
There's not much else I could ask for.
Yeah.
I would have kept going for more hours if needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who was inspired most by, you know, the kind of feedback that you guys have been getting? To kind of like, okay, yeah, let me really put some sauce and spice this up. Like, was anyone really, you know, really touched by just some of the feedback that you guys have gotten so far that kind of like it's changed the motivation level or changed the drive to like, I don't know. I'm curious. How has this album impacted you guys on that deeper level of like where you're going to take the band?
It's a very good question.
For me, I just like having it released because it's like, in the past, if that makes sense. So like when we're sitting on it, it's harder to like want to make more stuff when we had the project just like being sat on. Like we made it the EP, but it's like we got to get this so we can top it, you know. Like it has to be, in order to top what you did, it has to be out. Otherwise it's like, yeah, I'd top something that you never heard before, so that's pretty cool. So for me it's just like now we get a chance to start over again and make something great.
Ooh. It's cool to have a lot of the songs that we've been playing live that are also been recorded, and a lot of at least my friends have been asking, what do I get to hear Start Acting Strange? I know a lot of friends, what do I get to hear Voyeur? A lot of close friends really wanted to hear that one. So I think to actually have this out, to be like, here you go, and hear all this really positive feedback was a really nice relieving feeling. Just to be like, here it all is, finally actually listen to it. That was just the best feeling in the world. I actually just be able to send it out to everyone.
Because Voyeur, I think we played at our second show ever
we did.
In 2017. And now finally in 2021,
it
hits the internet.
that one's weird because I wrote it, I think, like right after I turned 17. And then I like shortly after recorded a demo with Evan and Jason of it. But yeah, I don't know. That's easily the oldest song on this album. Oh, yeah. It was also kind of interesting because the Furs also has a version of this song that sounds very different on our Melting EP. And that one came out first, even though this is the Annihilate version. That's like the true to original form of the song.
Yeah, the OG form.
Yeah, the OG form. So it's interesting. I'm really glad that one's finally out in that style, for sure.
Yeah, I like that. I like that kind of like that bluesy, jazzy rock vibe it had, and it just, yeah. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying, you guys. Like, there is so many different just like elements to each track that really do just pull together. And I think that's kind of like what I liked about like even just bringing it back to like the arcade video, that it's like, that's the type of nostalgic video like that I could see like almost in my head, like with each track. Its own type of like movie. And that's the dope thing where it's just like, hey, I guess you got a cool videography project to work on.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. If we could make a video for each song, that would be a dream. I've been seeing a lot of artists doing full movies with their albums.
Yeah.
Recently, and that's a goal of ours for sure going into the future. Because I think there's a lot to express visually along with the music.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I mean,
with our second video, I mean, Jason did all the camera work and all the editing on it. So like, we really like do that in house.
Yeah,
that's really like, not that far off of it.
True.
Dang. Yeah. I mean, before I was like, yeah, how are we gonna do this? But like after seeing that second video that Jason did all that work into,
like really the only budget that there is, our good friend Connor, he the lights we're using now and his camera helped us with that. We shot for in like 6 hours, just at our own practice space where we actually like practice and then record. Like it's where we made the songs, almost all the songs here on the album, where those have all started. I guess the idea for that video was just band practice. So just taking one idea and then to be able to do that all in house, it might help us do that.
Well, I think you guys have the potential for it. I know personally, just like as a fan, I was like, yeah, like this is one of those works that I feel like needs that service of like the videography tandem project. I feel like that would just double the views, yo, get more eyes and ears on it.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that.
Well, like, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I'm just thinking, like, Fly, like, come on, man. That's, like, one of those, like, 90s, early 2000 movie moments where it's, like, whole dream sequence pops in, and everyone's got, like, the marble light spotlight on the piano, like, this grand piano, Tristan's in a suit or some shit, like.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, we kind of did something like that at a much lower level that we never released because it wasn't, like, fully up to par, but that was our vision too. It's funny you said that because kind of what we were thinking too.
Because again, like, I don't know, that just depends on like how people listen to music, I guess, because for myself personally, like when there's a work or like a piece that I'm really excited about where I'm just like, okay, like let's give this a listen, I'll just like post up, it's just like I don't want to sound like an audiophile because I'm really not that into it, but it's just like right in front of the sound system. Close the eyes, just listen to the piece play on the dope speakers and just like vibe out to it and be like, all right, what comes up while I'm listening to this? And that's the reason really why I was like, I got to get these guys on the show. I got to talk to them about how they made this album. Because again, like that's one of those ones where it's, if you really appreciate music, I mean, you always want to give it their appreciation it deserves. And for me, that's always kind of treating it like almost like a meditative practice where it's just like, I'll just close the eyes and listen to it. And if it evokes emotion and like dope visuals, then
I think we all kind of have that same kind of synesthetic feeling with music, that one that we listen to and that we make too. And I think now, especially now that we've been making music together for so long, we're all kind of locked in on the same page about a lot of that, like the general vibe, more artistic feel that we want visually for the song, whether it's artwork or whether it's any other visual media.
Yeah. So do you guys think that this time during like the lockdown and how everything kind of, I mean, again, like life, because I'm right there with you, like I was going to go on the Spread the Love tour as like the tour manager for Martial Law Band before, like, and go South by Southwest, like that whole tour, you know, going around like the loop. And that was one of those things where it was just like, oh yeah, man, like the pandemic kind of like, I don't know, it made a huge drastic pivot in a lot of people's lives. And I'm just very curious, you know, in terms of like a band and just even your guys' own kind of musicianship, like how has this kind of time of reflection impacted you on this level of just like musicianship, just kind of perspective? Because I think that's one of the things too, where it's, I'm very curious to see how all of these events and experiences process for you, Tristan, because I know that mind is a introspective, curious soul right there. I can tell, like...
Yeah, I don't know. I would think that like having all that time. Well, I was pretty much working the whole time still.
Yeah,
I didn't have like a whole lot of downtime. But there's not as much inspiration there. Like it was harder to get inspiration when there's not a lot going on. And like the shows are something that just like gives you life. And just like really, for me, performance is probably my favorite thing. So that really motivates me to make more stuff to perform. So to not have that and to not really have as much band practice or like seeing everybody, it was having that alone time just wasn't as productive as you might think it would be.
Interesting.
Perspective
changing though, nonetheless, in terms of just that type of introspection. I don't know, I just think looking at like the sense where you're just saying even then, like it kind of puts the spotlight on like what really does bring like the extra depth to the human experience. Anyone else?
Yeah, I think for me, the pandemic. I was still working too, but I didn't have to go anywhere. So like all my commute which it takes up a lot of my time was all gone. So I had all that extra time and I used that to learn how to use Adobe Premiere and start editing videos. I've only been doing that for like a year now. Now I'm at a point to where, I can direct and edit an entire music video for us. Wow. That's my biggest takeaway from not going outside for a year.
I could see that. Just kind of making the most of what you're given in that, because as much as, everything's taken away from you as far as performance and like networking and seeing the people like within the Seattle music scene that you're used to seeing every other week or something. I think it was a time to really hone in and learn new skills. So Jason, he learned video because it's a necessity. We need video. I learned a lot more about mixing and mastering because our music needs to be mixed and mastered. So I think just not letting it take over you as a person and just making the most of that downtime that you had. So that way, when we come back, we can be stronger than ever.
I vibe with it. So I want to touch. Oh, go for it. Was someone saying something?
I will speak on it. I didn't like open my mouth on it, but for me, I wish I could say that I've put more energy into developing myself in any particular way. But I only ended up writing / producing a handful of songs throughout the bulk of the pandemic. The other thing is that I lived, throughout most of that time period, I was up in Bellingham in this murky basement apartment where none of my roommates, as lovely as they are, none of them are musicians or anything like that. And, so I felt very isolated in that sense, even more so because eventually, in last summer, I made my way up here and I ended up staying at these fellas' places. And, that's when I felt creative again, and that's when we started working on stuff again. But I only wrote / produced a couple of tracks on my own throughout that time where I wasn't around bandmates. And there was a period where I don't think I saw these guys for 5-6 months. And
wow,
yeah, it sucked. But now we're all back together again and playing shows again. And my takeaway was that I don't do horribly well in isolation from my musical colleagues. So.
Well, that just goes to show the creative process, though. And I think it's even more so too, the chemistry that you guys have and share, and just that whole divine timing aspect where it's just everyone's a little off until the band's back together.
Mm-hmm. Right?
We made a whole movie.
We made a whole little short film about getting back together. Yeah.
Oh, I saw that with Chase. I love it.
Yeah.
So in terms of the stage chemistry, when did you guys first start falling in love with the group as a band? Because I know you three have gone back for a long time. Was it back in middle school where you're this is the crew. This is it.
Good question. I don't think it ever sounded full until the day that we added those two.
It was that night, that night that we put that in Oxford Saloon. We just played a couple songs. They did an open jam. And then that was it right there.
Yeah, afterwards, because we were just testing the waters, right? We knew we needed a rhythm guitar player. We knew we needed a bass player. And then after that night, I'm pretty sure we asked both of them, we're like, you guys want to join the band? And it's that was when everything kind of... everything came together and it felt right. And it felt full finally. Because before then, you ever listen to music with no bass in it? Not very. You listen to music with only a lead guitar, it sounds so thin. So we were really missing pieces for quite a while. And then back in, 2018 is when it finally fully came together. And then since then, we've just gotten, the chemistry has increased and we've gotten better. And we played a show a couple days ago and I thought it was only 30 people and it was very low key, but I thought it was one of our best performances. So I think we're just going to keep increasing and getting better.
That's the wild part when you break it down in the timeline like that. It really hasn't been that long.
We're still growing. Yeah, we're still getting better.
Freakishly awesome and scary. It's just like, oh shit. Like,
right? Yeah. What can we do in like 3 years? We'll see.
Yeah.
Any epic retreats where it's just like, all right, guys, let's just go trip in the woods, see what happens.
I've been advocating for that. I don't know about. I think it would be a great experience.
Agreed.
Yeah, can I have a whole other album?
I honestly taking that as a real suggestion. You know, with you know, let's say a maybe safety measure, on the trip part, I think that we should take a little retreat together. I think that'd be sick.
That's a good idea. You may have just inspired something.
Yeah.
Hey man, things are open up. Get that Airbnb in the woods, like.
Oh yeah, right. And we can do some meditation. You know, circle up. Yeah, that's right. Be really quiet for a bit, and then get really loud and make some music.
There we go.
Yeah, we might have to bring you out there, Peter.
Yeah, we need a meditation guru. Yeah,
hey, get some ayahuasca adventures in there. Yeah. Let's do it. No.
Take my ayahuasca jam.
Well, I mean, for me, it was just like the start acting strange tea. Like even the design with that, I was just like, and the album art itself too, I was just like, yeah, this could melt. I could see this melting, you know.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah, we got to get even stranger on this. This album, we started acting strange.
Yeah.
Start taking ayahuasca.
And real quick on the topic of designs, yeah, our both album artwork and logo artwork, like, and literally every shirt design that we're wearing, all done by my good friend Gabby. She's incredible. She's done art for us pretty much since our first single dropped.
First single dropped
after the first album that Hayden and I weren't on, like right after Hayden and I joined.
She's the MVP.
She's like really, and she made us into little clay figurines, like
which we have now.
It's like, yeah, super cool. Can't express enough love.
That's awesome. Well, I think the real thing that's kind of epic about this though is if you really do look at this from like an objective look, you guys are really in the infancy of developing your sound. And I think that's a really fascinating thing right there in and of itself. And I think that's one of the cool things about this album is because you can see like the 50, you know, like different genres that you could like, that you guys tap into throughout the entire album. But I don't know, I guess I should say in terms of the new stuff that's coming out, like, how does it feel producing this now? Do you feel like you just like, you know, it's helped you in terms of tapping into all the different genres that you guys are capable of and you're honing it? Or do you feel like you're trying to, I guess it's hard to phrase this question. Do you feel like you're amplifying your game as you're continuing to make songs, like your genres that you're able to scope and interact and integrate are just getting bigger and bigger?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the genre thing kind of comes naturally, but the making it sound like Annihilate is something that we're working on and that keeps on getting better. Like looking at our first album and even like our EP after that, those don't feel as much like albums. We're still doing the genre jumping, but those don't feel as much as albums, as well. I'm still kind of, you know, proud of those. They don't feel like albums like Start Acting Strange does. Like earlier, like those feel kind of like more like playlists or like a mixtape, where Start Acting Strange does feel like a cohesive thing. And then especially, you know, listening to it a year later since we postponed it after COVID, still having that feeling. I think our sound is going to continue to shape, but I don't know if the whole genre jumping thing is going to go away so much.
No, I mean, obviously it shouldn't. I think that's one of the things that make your guys like the Annihilate sound so fresh. I guess that's a good way to put it, is because it does blend so many different things at once. And then again, I just got to say, you know, it's like the icing on the cake. It's just like the lyricism is that you can go from like this rap to this rock to this like this R&B soul funk vibe. Like, you know, you guys are just changing hats all the time. And I think that's the thing that's even more I don't want to say, like, the only word that comes to mind is, like, it's so dangerous. Because that's the thing. It's just like, dude, all it takes is just one to just, boom, ignite. And everyone's just like, yeah, this is fucking the vibe. Like, who is this? And I feel like that's one of the impacts that this album has. Because it was funny. I had a friend ask me, like, you guys, at least I know you got at least one plus one for me. Where it was, I had a friend ask me, like, oh, what is this you're listening to? I was just like, oh, it's this group Annihilate. Person, friend Chase, that I know, pointed me onto them. I saw them at a show one time. They were just like, oh, this is interesting. I like this. And then just to let them know that you guys are this kind of somewhat fresh band still, it's just like, dude, blows my mind. It blows my mind.
Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah.
For putting people on that stuff.
Of course, yo. I mean, I think that's just one of the things too, where it's, I've hoped you guys have gained more fans from this album release. It's muchly deserved. And that's one of the reason why I want to bring you guys on the show. Show to the creative chat audience. You guys got big things happening ahead of you. I can see it. I mean, again, because it's the sound so unique. There's really not many people doing it like this. You know, there's always like the jam bands and they have, you know, all the different, you can have a different horn section. But in terms of this, like, to have the rock, the funk, the R&B, the jazz, and have it be balanced and not just like a copy paste. Because I think I've seen that more than anything. Just like that kind of like choppy, like, nah, this doesn't really get me. Or like a one hit wonder type of vibe. But like, nah. You guys bring the heat.
Thank you. That's very kind.
I mean, it just is what it is, yo. It's just, you guys put a really good piece of work out there. And I think that's one of the things too, where it's, you know, that dedication shows through in terms of being meticulous with the sound and making sure it's at that point where you're like, nah, I can't hear an issue with this. It's good to go. Like, who is the most picky that y'all, that everyone had to be like, dude, it's good. It's okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like it's between Evan and Ariel.
I love how some people are like, yeah, no, definitive. Yeah, I can see it.
Because Ariel's really into tone and Evan's really, I don't even know how to describe it, but they're both, but it's a good thing. It's like you have to have somebody like that.
It wouldn't sound nearly as good if they weren't like that. It's, we need it.
Yeah, like, so I would say Ariel personally, but somebody say me. But Ariel is like the timing guy. Like, you would think I would hear these issues as a drummer, but Ariel will be like, is that guitar note 2 milliseconds too early? And I'm like, it technically is. You're right. Let's fix that. So, like, imagine going through every song and going through that process. But I'm glad we do it because, you know, we want everything to be very well polished, even down to the last millisecond. And as our first engineer we ever worked with and one of our biggest inspirations, Sean Walker, once said, the milliseconds make the millions. Just meaning the littlest details are really what sets a song apart. Mm-hmm.
100%. I mean, it's always, I think that's just a thing, even just like the human experience, like the subtleties of life are the most overlooked, but they're the dopest things. Like just being able to capture that timelessness when you're just in the moment, you're in the zone, you're on stage, you're in the flow. And then all of a sudden it's over and you're just like, oh shit. Like I was just almost watching myself perform, just flowing in the now, like wasn't even thinking, just like pure energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very well put.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm curious is like, how does it, because I always love kind of, you know, this whole, you know, let's talk consciousness real quick in terms of just your experience when you're on stage. Like, is it, how would you describe like the elation or just the flow?
That's a good question. I don't know how to like put it into the big words you're using, but like for me when I'm on stage, like I love it. And it is like kind of like autopilot. And I'm like, it's so autopilot that I'm like singing these things or rapping these things really fast. While I'm also thinking about like, huh, I wonder like if that one thing, like I'll just like notice something on stage and like, oh, this person's doing this one thing and I'll still be like rapping these things. But then I'm like just thinking about other stuff somehow at the same time. I recognize that it feels good. And like, I just feel flow is a really good word for it. Flow, like you definitely get into the flow. And I feel like that takes about the first song for me to get there. The first one's probably the roughest for me, and then from there on it's just like straight flow throughout the whole set.
That's dope. Interesting. Okay, so we got first song, we got Evan's at the first tap.
Yeah, there's something to it where you just like release all that energy, and you know, any, because nerves really play a part. But I think just seeing the reaction, which we always, we're blessed, we always end up getting like good reactions, and we have great crowds and you know, family, friends, fans coming out to see us, and seeing that support just kind of relieves the nerves. And after that first song, like Tristan said, it's kind of autopilot, and there's definitely a flow to it. And you know, you'll play a 45 minute set, it feels like 5 to 10 minutes, and all of a sudden you're on your last song, you're like, wow, this really flew by. And you always wish that you could, you know, have more of that, but the feeling of elation is real when you're on that stage.
Yeah, it's real, and it's also fleeting, unfortunately. I tend to deal with, like, normally if like we're all hanging out and, or you know, doing something together or something fun in general after a show, it kind of keeps the energy going. But it's you know, there are occasions where you just end up back in the quiet of your room, at least for me, and I'm just like, damn, like that was great. And then I wake up the next morning, I'm like, fuck, I wish it could just happen again. And yeah, there's a little bit of that post-show depression. But in regards to actually performing, same deal for me. I used to get, more so than now, like the most horrific pre-show anxiety, where I would just like be horribly nauseous and just like generally feel like garbage. And luckily it's gotten a lot better over like the countless shows. It's easier now because I think there's so much trust in each other within the band that, like, you know, whatever nerves you might have about your own performance, there's a lot of confidence that everybody's going to be on and everybody's going to be there doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, you know, you can let a thing here and there like slip through the cracks in terms of mistakes. That everybody makes at least one mistake every single show easily. Like, but yeah. And that's basically it. It's also a little different for me, like between the two bands I'm in, because in the other band I'm like, I'm front manning it. So I think with Annihilate, it's a lot easier for me to let loose now and just be like, all right, I get to just play guitar for most of this set, and I don't have to worry about singing. So I get to just, be a little less worried about every interaction I have with the crowd or whatever.
Take the foot off the gas a little bit and just relax.
Yeah.
I think that post-show depression thing is totally kind of a real thing. But after you finish the show, like you got tons of people kind of coming up to you, you know, like complimenting you, almost to like, where it like feels uncomfortable. Everyone's talking.
Yeah, that's true.
No one was talking to you before you went on, and then you went on, and like, hey, great job, man, great job. And I don't know what to say, but thank you. And then you get home, and then all you can think about is those kind of like little mistakes, even if it was like particularly bad. I think we have we all have a kind of perfectionist inside of us when it comes to performing, maybe more than we do for our recorded music, especially individually with how we do, myself included. A lot of what I do is improvise on stage with my guitar solo, so. Which is kind of stupid on my part, because like I'm so screwed if I if I like make a mistake or whatever. But it's worth it. But it's fun.
I mean, I don't know. I don't do too well after shows. I definitely like it's fun, and I like being in that moment. It's my favorite moments are being on stage. Like I'm very similar to Evan. As soon as the show starts, every nerve I had is gone. I can just cut loose, having a good time. I really like to, you know, just get into what I'm doing. But afterwards, I definitely don't feel as good about how I did about, I don't know, give or take immediately after I finished playing. Wow, that was the worst show I ever played. I can't believe people had to sit through that. But it happens every time. So I guess it's rough. But that's that post-show depression. But like with Ariel said, if we're doing stuff afterwards, usually I'll keep in better spirits. And just, yeah, like, the actually act of being in the environment and in the show is just the best feeling.
That's so interesting.
Look out at certain people, see how they're reacting, vibing, what you're doing. I love that.
Yeah.
Connecting. And, you know, usually we play with other bands, and I usually try to find the other bass player. I've done that before, so then we can chat it up after.
Make each other feel like you.
Like the same instrument.
Yeah. come look at my instrument. Oh yeah, well come look at mine. Look how look at this thing.
Like automatic friends showing each other Lego sets.
Exactly. Yeah, that's always good after the show too, because usually we'll find each other and be like, hey, that was awesome. That kind of helps a little bit after if I'm feeling particularly not good about a set.
So the post-show depression thing is so interesting to hear, because I feel like it might be because I'm like such an introvert that I really like after the show. Like I love being on the stage is like my favorite thing, but I'll live off that high for like a couple days sometimes. Like I just like, I did it. That's what I did. Like I got up there because like I'm really anxious before the show. I wouldn't say so much nervous, but just like anxious, like to get on stage and just do it.
Yeah, that excitement, but just tension.
Not that I want to get it over with, like this is like a chore for me or something, but I just want to go and do it. And then I'm just cruising. I'm just like, all right, I did it. I did my thing. Now I can go to sleep or whatever. Like, and I definitely, if I hear myself back sometimes, I'll be like, oh man, wish I sounded a little better. But then it just gives you an opportunity for the next one to look forward to do better for me.
I love that. So do you feel like it's just like, that's enough peopling for the day? That's enough. Like I got my fill. I can just go back and just take it low key.
I have like a, introverts like charge by themselves, right? But then like this is like the one thing, performers like the one thing that also gives me energy. And it's just like I have like a little capsule that's like my little extrovert capsule, is strictly for performing. It just fills it up and I can just live off of that for like a week, and it's nice. And it's like just like the extra boost in addition to my introvert meter.
I love that. I've never heard it expressed like that. I love it. And it makes total sense though, where it's just like intellectually you can charge yourself, you can do your own things to decompress and relax. But it's just like, I feel that with the peopling though, man. But that's the difference when, you know, you're in that playful state of just expression and really enjoying the play of life that is, you know, music. You know, when you're really just vibing on stage and people are vibing with you. And I think that's the kind of realm where we cross over. So it's cool to see everyone's different experiences of like the post-show aspect and even just in the flow. I think that's the one thing I saw is, you know, the post-show depression just for a lot of different artists and creatives too, just so, you know, the post-gallery depression. Anytime you get the chance to really put your art out there and connect with people, not being able to have that for a year is a very interesting thing. And I don't know, I really hope that it changed the music scene enough where people really value it. Cause I do know that, you know, during all this, we did lose a lot of venues. You know, a lot of bars and venues did not make it out of all this. And that's one of those things that sucks, is cause it's like, damn, one less spot to really like highlight yourself at.
That's a huge bummer. There are a lot of venues that closed down and some still that haven't like fully, like, you know, regained their footing or anything like that.
But yeah, I think the reason why crowds are so much more inviting and welcoming now is because like when the pandemic hit, like we, so many things that we take for granted every day, like we're just gone for a whole year. Seeing people that maybe you didn't even see on a regular basis, like don't realize how much you miss those people and being in certain areas. And I think that's really changed for the better, and I think that's going to stick around for quite some time, especially like at least for our generation. Like we know that was just a year, so could you imagine, holy crap, if that was like a decade or something where we couldn't do anything like that. So I think now we know how important, you know, live music is, and I think audiences do too. It definitely feels a lot better coming out on the other side of this COVID business.
Hey, and I think that's, it's almost a gracious gift for humanity just to kind of, you know, hold off on the album and then releasing it once things start opening back up so people can really start experiencing it. And I think that's a cool thing, you know, a little gift to people once they get out. And it really is, again, because like music does bring so many different people together. It changes moods. And I know there's, I mean, this is, again, I've said it so many times already, but it just, the fact that you guys created an album that is timeless already, just listening to it the first few times, like if you guys are on that and it's still just this first part, then I'm excited just to see what happens in the future for you guys. I'm very curious.
Well, we are too. We're not stopping. We're not slowing down.
So with that, I just want to say, you know, thank you and ILA for coming on Creative Chat. Is there any last words for the listeners?
Start acting strange, baby.
Right?
Out now. Listen. Scream it down.
Listen to it and do it. No, like, do it. Start acting strange. Get weird. Who cares?
We're strong advocates for that.
I have a slight promotion to make. So going forward, like, we have the music, we have the visuals and whatever. So something we're trying to do more of is doing like behind the scenes and like getting the fans and audience to like know us as people, and in order to like further engagement and like get deeper. So I'm going to shamelessly plug my Twitch account that I just made because it's not completely out of left field, because I'm going to incorporate the band and everything. Yeah. Well, not everything, but like it has to do with jams and stuff. Games and music based. So I guarantee everybody in the band will come through and jam to video games, sometimes not the video games. And that's just I think a cool behind the scenes thing that people can watch, but need to know to watch. So, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, I love that.
What is your Twitch?
I can't tell you. I'm just joking. It's it's T-Stones Malones, which is the same as my Instagram name or Twitter name. Yeah.
I had another plug that's very much so in a similar vein. All of us make other music. Like, Jason and I are in the Furs, Hayden's in Sunflower, and Chatty Cathy's with the two other Furs members. Evan works with so many artists. Sim and I have worked, on other people's music together. And yeah, there's like a lot of music going on in this larger circle of friends. And like, go check it out. If you want to hear stuff that's outside of just Annihilate, I'm not going to lie, first, listen to Start Acting Strange. But after that, this is an Annihilate interview, but after that, check out the other stuff. There is a Spotify playlist that's like music from the members of Annihilate. That's cool. A really easy way to just go and hit shuffle or whatever, and you'll hear a bunch of stuff that we've worked on. But yeah, go dig around. You'll see what other stuff we're up to.
Oh, guys, man, I can't believe it. There's just so much more unfolding for you guys. I have way more many questions, even with the answers we got, but it's been a pleasure to get to know you guys. Thank you so much for coming on Creative Chat. And with that, roll the outro.
That concludes this episode of Creative Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. View more episodes on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you, We Are Historically, for your conscious human apparel. Shop online at wearehistorically.com.
Hi, I'm Darius Wilrich. I'll teach you everything you need to know about playing jazz piano like a pro with my 12-week online video course and downloadable guidebook, Jazz Piano Pro Essentials. Enroll today at jazzpianopro.com.
Thank you for joining us. Have a happy always.
You guys are, first of all, very unassuming. And very contradictory. And I love the look. And when I say very unassuming, when you listen to the music, you expect to see, I don't know, what kind of band, if someone hasn't seen
Everyone's
you,
is different. Yeah, like, authentically than just genuine people.
It's very unassuming. And then you hear your music and you go, oh my gosh, these guys rock. Oh my gosh, these guys rap. Oh my gosh. But, it's not like, okay, this is what I'm trying to say. It's not like I'm looking at a Village People. Oh, I'm dressed as a rapper. I'm dressed as a rocker. I'm dressed as a jazz. I am a new wave. I'm funk,
Yeah.
It's like the Spice Girls or something, So I'm kind of glad you guys don't do that and that you guys just show up. But the thing also that I wanted to mention is that I don't know why genre jumping hasn't caught on. I've always been a fan of genre jumping. As a producer, the first thing you're looking into music is, does it have mass appeal? Will my audience like it? I get it. I got to love it too. But if no one, if it, it could be so great that no one listens to it. There's a lot of masterpieces out there. You guys have made a lot of music. Like you said, we'll never see the light of day. Right. And so the ones that do, you also know I'm going to be performing this for the rest of my life. So I have to love it, you know, but you release these babies out there. And that's the one thing is that the bands that I've noticed that have lasted the longest don't keep the same sound. They have to diversify. People expect a band to play, like the Rolling Stones will always play rock, but not every two albums are the same. You know, and when they start to sound similar is when they start to just become like the outfield, a forgotten band, okay? So to me, I want to keep encouraging you to be a trendsetter and not to follow trends, but to just pave your own way, because you're going to have more mass appeal that way, I think. You're going to get a little bit of these guys, a little bit of, and I believe that's really what our world is. People who like a little bit of everything. I do. I love a little bit of everything. And I don't want to listen to a whole album of Primus or the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I can take their songs in increments, right? They're on a playlist. You guys, yeah, yeah. I can set you on repeat and not get tired of it, because every song's a new experience to me. And I have to say, I challenge anybody to listen to Arcade and not move.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's a good challenge. See, that's a hashtag right there. Like,
yeah, the Arcade challenge.
Still completely.
Make that on TikTok. You know what to do.
And subscribe to be notified of future episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's refreshing.